This church has been, it's been prophesied that we're going to see a healing revival. And I believe that what God does is he lets us hear it first so that we can grab onto it and believe that we're going to see it. So we hear first, then we see it come to pass. So the title of this is Hear the Sound. I'm going to start with a story that I've shared before, but I just need to repeat it today. Many years ago, I shared a house with John Archer. Now, John is not here. He's on our preaching team. He's done missions for us. He's now living in Mexico. He's sort of back and forth doing missions and also business. John and I used to share a house a while back. And for some reason, John had developed this pattern. You know, you don't know why people do things. They just do stuff. But he would walk around the house going, brr, brr, like this. He was constantly doing that. So I, however, found it annoying, but he didn't care. So he would continue to do that. I think one day we decided to go to HEB. We normally never went to the store together. For some reason, one of us wanted to go, and we just thought, hey, we'll tag along. So we go to HEB. We walk in. Those who know John know I walk fast, but John walks fast. And so John can't be bothered. If you're going to go anywhere with him, he's going to do his thing. He'll catch you later. So we walk in. He goes, I got to go. I'm like, of course you do. Go do your thing. So, like, John is walking around. We've been separated for quite a while. Like, I'm starting to get all, you know, the stuff that I have. I'm thinking, okay, then I'll have time to check out. But then I think, where is John? I have no idea where John's at. So I'm walking towards the checkout area. The place is packed. You know, everyone's in the front. And I'm just standing there, and I'm just looking around, like, where is that fool at? That's just probably what I was thinking. And all of a sudden, I hear, brr! And so I immediately was like, oh, God, it's John. So I shift over, and there he is. See, sometimes we hear things because we've learned what it sounds like. See, everything has a sound. We may not know what that sound is, but once we are told or once we connect a sound to a particular object or person, we learn to discern that sound out of many other sounds. It's why in a crowded room, we can hear the voice of a friend call out to us. See, we've developed the ability to distinguish that sound out of all the other sounds that are coming towards us. So how do we do that? Well, we eliminate and we isolate a sound, and it allows us to hear that particular sound above everything else. If we didn't have this ability in the natural, I think it would drive us crazy. If we heard every sound that everything our ears hear throughout the day, it would be maddening. But we have this ability to ignore some sounds and only hear certain sounds. 1 Corinthians 14:8 says this, "For if the trumpet produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle?" See, the implied context there is that the one ready for battle has already learned what that sound is. He's learned the call to action sound. It's not as if he's never heard the sound before. It's just a sound that he's trained his ear to recognize. See, the reason something has a distinct sound is because we've trained our ear to distinguish what that sound is. If I said the sound of a lawnmower, you can picture that in your head. The sound of rain or thunder, a refrigerator, the sound of a ball being struck by a bat. Our lives are surrounded by distinct sounds because we've trained our ears to discern what that sound is. I was at home a few weeks ago, and I heard this crashing noise upstairs. Now, if someone else had been there, they would have been like, what's that noise? But I had already heard the shower rod fall before, so I knew that it was a shower rod. Thankfully, I finally replaced that thing. But we learn what noises are or what a sound is because we've connected or we've trained our ear to discern what that noise means. I have this ability to hear everything in a room. Many, many, many years ago, I was visiting Pastor Easy and Alina. They were living in a different home. And I walked in the room and I was just talking to her. And all of a sudden, I'm like, what is that noise? She's like, what noise? I'm like, I cannot, this is driving me crazy. I hear this noise. It's like a buzzing noise, and no one could hear it. But I was like, there's this noise that's driving me mad. So then I start, what do? You isolate it. I'm like, where's that coming from? So I start creeping over, and over on the wall was a rheostat with a dimmable light, and it was buzzing. No one heard it except me. Like, my ears can hear everything. And a couple weeks ago, I was at a restaurant. Someone's trying to talk to me, and the room is full. And I'm listening to, really, I hear everything around me. Like, if I'm sitting in that chair, I literally hear every row back, everybody around me, every move you make. Just so you know, I hear everything. And I wish I didn't, but I do. So someone's trying to talk to me from across the table. I have to keep saying, I'm sorry, could you repeat that? Could you repeat that? And they're like, can't you hear it? And I'm like, I hear everything. That's the problem. I hear that table over there. I hit that table over here. Like, I have to force myself to listen in order to hear. It's sort of like in leading worship. I have to listen to the band. I listen to what each instrument is doing. I listen to what the vocals are doing. I also have to listen to what someone is doing here. If they grab the microphone, they want to give a word of exhortation or encouragement. I'm listening to all that at the same time, but also listening for the Holy Spirit to say, where are we going? See, I've got to be plugged into what's around me and where I'm going. Because if we're going to follow the Spirit, we have to know what He is saying, and we can't be letting all the other noises drown out His voice when His voice is the premium that we should be listening to. Scripture declares in Romans 10:17 that in hearing, faith is developed. Faith is developed when we hear. It says this in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the word of Christ. When the Bible talks about hearing, what it really says is to perceive or comprehend, to hear God's voice, which prompts Him to birth faith within. You want faith this morning? Hear what the Lord says. See, if we hear His voice, we perceive it, we comprehend it, faith begins to build on the inside of us. See, oftentimes we make faith be this big thing that I've got to strive for. I've just got to have enough faith. No, you just got to let the Word on the inside and let the Word do its job. When we perceive it and we comprehend it, we let it in, we actually truly hear what the Lord says, it prompts faith to be birthed in us. Faith simply means the definition of the word faith. We have this mystical, you know, idea of what faith is. It just means at the base level to be persuaded. Persuaded. Now, I know most of us probably in here know what persuaded means, but I want us to look at the definition so we can just keep it in mind. Persuade. Cause someone to do something through reasoning or argument. Cause someone to believe something, especially after a sustained effort. To convince of a situation or event, provide a sound reason for someone to do something, to be persuaded. See, for some reason, it's really easy for me to be persuaded by something I read. If I'm on the internet, I read an article about health. If I read an article about something I should do. Back in the days when you had a magazine, if you'd read an article, it dawned on me one day, I would take the advice of an article before I would take the advice of the Word. Why is that? All of a sudden, on the Word, we start thinking, well, is that really what you mean, God? Is that really what you say? See, we don't take the Word at face value, but we take some article that someone has written at face value, and we put more effort and put more weight and we put more authority and put more power in an article written by some person who probably has no scientific background whatsoever. See, we need to be persuaded by the right things. See, most often, we're persuaded by our past. We're persuaded by our feelings about our past. See, we tend to hear those sounds the most. How bad we were. How we always mess up. How we got it wrong. We hear the sound of our flaws, failures, mistakes. See, we are persuaded that's how it was, how it is, and how it will always be. And things will never change. See, we are persuaded that I deserve anything bad that happens to me because that's just how it is. See, we hear the sound of shame, of guilt, condemnation, or we hear the sound of, I'll never be free. I'll just have to live like this. But there is a sound that we need to hear, and it's the sound of truth. It's the very thing that we need to listen to is the voice of God speaking on the inside of us, birthing faith. Now, as I said earlier, that the Lord has really spoken of a healing revival, and I believe this church is in a season that we need to be hearing. We need to be hearing what comes next. Now, what do I mean by that? It's a Sunday morning. Pastor Alina texts the staff, and it's early before church, and she says, I've been up all night. The Lord has been speaking to me that we need to have more times of prayer. God had been prompting to move in her. Okay? So that morning, she also got a text from Sandy, who's an intercessor here, that the Lord had been, like, leading her, that God wanted to do something really, like, different and to expect a new season that was going to break out in this church. So Sandy was going to come that morning, begin to pray. And so what did we do? We took the Lord's advice when he says, hey, I think you need more times of prayer. We heard it and we said, okay, we're going to start doing it. So we started adding more nights of corporate prayer. Okay. So the next step was, so we did one thing. We heard it. We obeyed. So we began to have more nights of prayer. Okay. The next step is I think it was our second time of revival prayer, maybe the third. And you heard Dan talk about fasting. So during prayer time, Dan came up and he said, I think the Lord is saying we need a time of fasting. So we do. We heard what he said. And then we said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start calling a corporate fast. See, it's one thing he says, but then you obey. See, we have to decide if we're going to hear him, we're going to obey his word. So step by step, moment by moment, we need to be hearing for what he says and then obey it and then move on to the next thing. See, we don't move until he says do the next thing. So we've begun to have more times of prayer. We're beginning to call, times of fasting. We just want to move in what God is saying to do. I just believe it's a pivotal season that when God is saying, when you don't know what's coming next, you just have to trust that what's coming next, he'll give to you. See, all throughout the Old Testament, when the Israelites were leaving during what's called the Exodus, they were coming to the Red Sea. They had no idea what was going to happen next. Okay, they didn't have the privilege of being able to read it in Scripture and to know what was going to happen next. See, they lived it. They had no idea if the sea was going to part, if they were going to drown. All they had to do was what? Step in faith and believe that when they stepped in faith, the water was going to come and sweep over them. They had to believe that they would get to the other side. Now, do you actually think the Israelites ran through that Red Sea looking at it thinking, oh, this is a piece of cake. This is not. I can imagine if I were walking by that, you'd be thinking, oh, please don't drown. Please don't drown. Please don't let the water come back. Please don't let the water come back. I mean, I doubt they were walking across that Red Sea full of faith. Because I've seen how they were. The Israelites were the most complaining, the most murmuring, the most backbiting. But, the Israelites sort of still live in us. And that's kind of the problem. So let me just translate faith for you. Faith just means, it's really simple, but we make it complicated. Faith means I can be persuaded by God's truth that what he says about me or a principle is true. I'll sum it up like this. Faith means I'm persuadable by God. See, it's in the hearing, which hearing is active, that faith is developed. But it's not just one time. We don't just hear it one time and instantly we have faith. But just like we learn over time to distinguish the sounds or the voices that we hear, faith is strengthened when we hear his word again and again and again. Being persuaded by God results in faith being developed in us. Being persuaded by another source results in fear being fed. So we have a choice. Do we want faith or do we want fear? Being persuaded by God develops faith. Being persuaded by anything else results in fear being fed. See, so often we're presented with the opportunity to be persuaded by faith or by fear. Whenever I hear a thing, I have the choice to make. Do I believe what the word says, or do I believe what my past says? Do I believe what my feeling says? Do I believe what my aunt or uncle has said? Or am I going to take the Lord at his word? We can either be persuaded to faith or persuaded to fear. See, when it comes to the biblical definition on how we know we've heard something, really heard something, you can know that faith is developed and strengthened on the inside of us. See, faith isn't developed just because we have ears, but there's a particular hearing that can only build faith in us. And what is that? Scripture says, hearing by the word of God. See, there's something specific we must hear in order for faith to be developed. Like I said, when I was at HEB, a lot of people around in that room had ears, but only I heard and recognized the call. It called me to turn to attention. See, that's how God wants to develop faith in us, that when he says something, we shift our position and we look to what he says, knowing that what his way is the best way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. See, we have a choice. Either we stay in our place of fear or we shift our perspective and our position to look at what he says. And then when we look upon his face, strength and faith are birthed in us and we are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that he could ask or think. Amen. Can I get an amen? Is the church alive in this place? place? Do you want to see revival break out in this place? We've got to step out in faith. And faith simply means, even though I don't know what the next step is, I'm just going to walk in it. Even though I haven't seen what comes next, I'm going to step out in faith and believe. I've heard a word that revival is coming, so therefore I'm going to live according to what you have said. You have said I'm forgiven, so I'm going to live my life as being forgiven. You said I'm redeemed, so I'm going to live my life as if I'm redeemed. I'm not going to live by what my past says, but I'm going to live by faith. And faith says what you said, I am persuaded by. So I'm persuaded this morning that he is who he says he is, and that he will do what he says he will do. Hearing by the word of God. It's interesting, that word by, because when actually the translation, the word is actually, it's dia, which is a Greek word, which actually means through. So the literal meaning of dia means to cross to the other side through something. See, you've got to go across something in order to reach the other side. Does that sound familiar? By way of the cross. Faith comes by way of the cross. When we take every thought, every action, every belief, every behavior by way of the cross, only then can faith be formed, fashioned, and found in us. Only then can faith be strengthened and built in us. Everything that lives must come by way of the cross. Everything in our lives must go by the cross. He is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We must take everything through Jesus. How do we learn what God sounds like? We read his word. You can hear what God sounds like through the pages of Scripture. He reveals himself through his word. Any sound, listen to this, any sound that you hear that doesn't line up with his nature and character isn't God. God will never speak counter to what he has established in his word. And if you have heard otherwise, I would say lay it down. See, far too long, this is not a slam to the church, but the church has taught a God that isn't true. They've taught a character that God is just waiting to smite you. He's just waiting on you to mess up. All throughout my childhood, it was like God was the big man upstairs waiting on you to just trip up so that he could catch you. I gotcha. That's not the nature and character of God. The nature and character of God is that he sent his son for us, that he would give his life so that no man would perish. No man would perish, but all would have everlasting life. If what you think of God doesn't line up with that he gave his life for you, then I'm here to tell you, I've got good news. That's not the God of the gospel. The God of the gospel has given his life so that we can be redeemed, transformed, and walk in the power of his spirit. We serve a God who wants to give us a life and an abundant life. He's called us to fly above things that we think are, to live in a new realm. He's called us up higher. And anything in your mind that says he is not a good God, I'm telling you, crucify that now. Crucify means you kill it, you bury it, you end it. You no longer let that thing speak to you. But there is faith that should be stirred on the inside of us that says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. And any voice that says, any sound that says, you are not who God says you are, is a liar. And you need to expose that as the devil and who he is. And just take by faith that God says who you are, and that he wants to live it through you, and it calls you to live in an abundancy. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. God sounds like the words in Scripture. And I'll just say this. If you read something that doesn't look like the nature and character of God, ask someone. Because the overwhelming evidence is that he is love. He is good. He is righteous. He is just. There is love spread throughout all of Scripture. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is living. Living. It's living. That word means alive. It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. In my last sermon, I talked about the word Shema. It's a Hebrew word. Shema in Hebrew, which means to hear, it's when every time it says, hear, O Israel, or hear, it actually, what it means, see, the Hebrew has a lot more meaning than just what is on the surface. In the English, when we say hear, we just sort of think, oh, there's some sounds made. That's not what's going on here. The word Shema had a cultural understanding, that hearing just didn't mean you listened or maybe you heard some sounds, but it meant that you heard so deeply that it moved you to a response. If I heard, there was a response. See, if I didn't hear, then there was no response. But I was confronted with the fact, did you hear? And then I had a choice to either respond or to ignore. See, when we hear the word obedience, in Scripture, obedience, the word for that is Shema. They're one and the same. They're hand in glove. They're one, can't be without the other. If I hear, then I obey. If I obey and I've heard. See, the evidence is that you've heard in Scripture, if you want a biblical definition of did you hear, it means I heard what was said and I acted in response to what I just heard. Your response or your action shows if you actually heard. There is no separation between hearing and obedience. So how do you know you've heard? You start operating and conducting your life according to His word. If I'm persuaded that it's going to rain, what do? I bring an umbrella. If I'm persuaded that it's going to storm, what do? I seek shelter. If I'm persuaded that He died on the cross for me and paid the penalty for my sin, I'm going to live a life as someone He has set free. If I'm persuaded that I'm forgiven and that I'm a new creation in Jesus, I will conduct my life in that manner. So going back to the scripture from 1 Corinthians, when I read in the beginning, the sound that prepares the one for battle. See, you understand that, you know, the soldier heard the distinct sound for battle preparation. You know he heard it when what? He began to prepare for battle. He heard and he moved. See, the action proves he heard. In the Old Testament, 1 Kings 18, Elijah had given the word to the king Ahab that there was going to be a drought for 3 years in the land. And in 1 Kings 18, the time was coming to an end. The Lord spoke to Elijah and he said, go present yourself to Ahab and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Look at what he had. He had a word from the Lord. The next step, the Lord said, go and present yourself. How do we know he heard? Because Elijah went and presented himself. Then Elijah sends his servant to go look for the rain. See, he looked with expectancy that rain was on the way. Here's this. Hearing should incite expectancy. When we hear, we should expect that the Lord is going to move. See, faith means hearing what God says, even in the face of counter evidence. See, I may feel something, but what I must hear is what He says. I can only overcome when I hear what He says. Faith is in opposition to appearance. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, we are called to walk by faith and not by sight. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight. What's that mean? Well, we walk, and by walk it means the manner in which we conduct our lives is counter to culture, or it's supposed to be. Because if we don't live our life according to what our natural senses tells us, Scripture says, we will walk by faith and not by sight. See, we walk being persuaded His truth is what we will live by. Faith is simply applying His word over yours. When we apply His word over ours, faith is built inside of us. See, when we walk by faith, we are no longer persuaded by what our eyes see, but what He has spoken. Faith looks like not knowing what comes next, but walking ahead anyway. How do we walk in faith? We live our lives being confident His way is better and not what our eyes see if He has said something different. Throughout Scripture, so many times Jesus would say, those who have ears, hear. See, the problem is we've already made up our minds so many times that when we hear what the Lord says, we're convinced of something else because it's what our past has said. It's what tradition has spoken. But he says, those who have ears to hear. And hear is what's described when the Greek uses this word. It means to hear God's voice, which prompts him to birth faith within us. To hear is to have faith. Would you guys stand with me? Father, I thank you, Lord, that we want to hear what you are saying. God, we want to be so close to your mouth, God, that we hear the slightest whisper of your voice. Father, I thank you, Lord, that faith will arise in us, God. That as we allow your word to transform us, as we allow your word to renew us, faith is being built on the inside of us. God, I thank you, Lord, that we will walk by faith and not by sight. God, we will walk according to the words you have spoken over our lives, God. We choose today, Lord, not to look at what we see in the natural, but we will walk according to what you have said, God. We are persuaded this morning that you are who you say you are and that you will do what you said you will do. We are persuaded, God, that you have set us free. We are persuaded, God, that you have bought us. You have bought us and paid the price, God, that the blood consecrates us and sets us free. Lord, I thank you, God, that we want to walk being persuaded by you, God. God, we choose today, God, to listen to the sound of freedom, to the sound of hope, to the sound of love. God, we rejoice knowing that you will do what you said you will do, God. So I thank you, Lord, that we will look to your word, God. We thank you, God, that as you speak, God, I thank you for revival in Sugarland and Epicenter. God, I thank you, Lord, for the healing revival that you have spoken. God, we just agree with you again as a congregation that we say yes and amen to your will, to your way, God. Lord, you spoke it, God, and so we just agree with it, God, and we just walk according to what you say to do next, God. I thank you, Lord, you are leading us, God, and I thank you, Lord, that we just adjust our minds to agree with what you have said. Lord, I thank you, God, that we will no longer look with eyes of the natural, but God, we will listen to the sound of revival in our hearts, God, knowing that you will bring it to pass. We love you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.